Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. This is a guy who likes movies. He joins us weekly. The films are The Ballad of Lefty Brown, Hostiles, and Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool. I would rename Hostiles. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Joel.
Because you have to say hostile, but you kind of have to say Hostiles because otherwise it sounds like the flower, Hostas.
It is all very, very complicated. And I have to correct you on something. I rarely do this that you said. You said I'm someone who likes movies. I like good movies.
Okay. Picky. Everybody knows that as a critic and as... you know, that you can be selective and discerning, and that's why we keep you around.
Like. A lot of movies I don't like, and occasionally there's a movie I really hate. But okay. Fortunately, we don't have any of those this week.
But before you start, very quickly, do you like movies? Just like some people like spinach. Do you like movies?
I guess I do. No, I'm not. I'm not making a big deal of this. I just mean that there are some movies I don't like. I like movies. Of course, I like watching movies. But when I'm a certain amount of a way into a movie and I realize that this is not going to be a good movie, liking that movie.
Right then and there.
Sometimes I end up, to borrow the title of the second movie I want to talk about today, sometimes I end up downright hostile to the thing. But let's not go there. Fortunately, this week we have none of these movies to which I am actively hostile. And there's actually a little bit of news this week. Our three films today don't all have a whole lot in common. But the first two do because they are both Westerns. Westerns, it appears, are back. And whereas neither one of these, The Ballad of Lefty Brown and Hostiles, are turning out to be really major releases, it's interesting to see they both came out at the very end of 2017. And it's interesting to see two Westerns kind of enter the marketplace at around the same time because we don't see a whole lot of those. And there's a lot of discussion over the years as to whatever happened to the Western, which used to be a hugely important Hollywood genre. And not only Hollywood, Westerns were made in other countries too. One theory, which I think there's a great deal of merit to, is that Westerns were sort of supplanted by other kinds of fantasy that can deal with present-day issues in kind of ways that are displaced and therefore make us maybe left uncomfortable. A lot of people feel this first happened when Star Wars, the very first Star Wars movie, came out back in the 70s. It's a Western. They're running around in little spaceships instead of riding horses, and they're fighting with lightsabers instead of pistols. But it's basically a Western, and even the slogan kind of signals this in a subtle way, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Absolutely, but there's something, as someone who started seeing movies and was taken to a lot of Westerns, it's that genre is really key here because there's the... Obviously, correct me if I've got this wrong, but there was the good guys and the bad guys, and it was real clear. And then it didn't matter whether you transposed them to space or a different dimension, because it was the basic good, bad, let's sort this out and let's watch the light triumph over the dark.
Well, absolutely, that is true, and certainly Star Wars and its progeny have had very much that. I mean, there are switcheroos in there, you know, like Darth Vader turns out to be Luke Skywalker's daddy and all that. But yeah, the idea of that good old-fashioned clear division between the, as they used to say, the white hats and the black hats, and at the end the white hats win. That said, however, by the time you start to get up, especially into the 1950s, and then really in the 1960s, even Westerns start to take on kind of moral ambiguities and shades of gray and all that. And in fact, a couple of the movies that particularly The Ballad of Lefty Brown kind of resembles in certain ways, John Ford's great film, The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, and also in some ways, Clint Eastwood's very greatest Western, Unforgiven, are full of this kind of actively questioning the idea as to whether we can draw sharp divisions between the good, the bad, or to cite another Western here, and the ugly. So anyway, The Ballad of Lefty Brown and Hostiles both have, they're sort of in between. Both of them have these sort of, that we are clearly knowing who is supposed to be good and who is supposed to be not good. But there are kind of moral ambiguities and complexities and ambivalences built into them, which is one of the things that makes them interesting. Neither one of them is a great Western, much less a great movie, but they're both quite watchable. So a little bit about him. The Ballad of Lefty Brown is, you guessed it, the main character is named Lefty Brown. And by the way, the movie was written and directed by Jared Moshe. And Bill Pullman plays our eponymous character, Lefty Brown. And interestingly, Peter Fonda comes along. He, it's been quite a while now since he's been in a Western, but he has been known for Westerns, among many other things. And Peter Fonda's going on 80 now. And there he is in this Western still, but he's playing not a, sort of a rough and ready cowboy. He's playing a guy who, you know, is a rancher, but he has just been elected a senator, and he's about to go off to Washington. And he is about, over his wife's objection, his wife, by the way, very, very well played by Kathy Baker, he is going off to Washington to take up his new post, and he is leaving, he is thinking about leaving his ranch in the care of a guy who works for him, Lefty Brown, played very beautifully by Bill Pullman. And his wife says, no, 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 you won't even have a ranch when you get back if you leave it in charge of him, because Lefty Brown is this old, crusty sort of a character who has never been all that responsible and all that stuff. So that's sort of the way the movie begins. But then, and this is not a spoiler because it happens very early in the movie, our Peter Fonda character gets shot dead. He is killed by some bad people. And Lefty Brown is very, very obviously upset about this, and he feels that it was his fault, even though it wasn't really. And so he decides that he's going to find out who did this, and he's going to get revenge, and he's going to catch these people. However, as very often happens in the movies, he then gets suspected of having killed the senator, his old friend himself. So we have the main character, who is this old bearded guy. Reminded me of Gabby Hayes, to bring up a really old Western character, I think better known for television than for movies. This old Gabby Hayes type character is caught between the people who want to catch him for the murder and his own desire to catch the real murderers. In the meanwhile, he ends up getting into this feud with some very powerful people in Washington who turn out to be the ones really behind this killing. So we have a, you know, a story which is not all that complicated, but which is very much a classic sort of Western tale. And The Ballad of Lefty Brown aspires to be a sort of a classic Western tale, as you can tell right from the title. So it's a beautifully acted movie by a number of people. Bill Pullman, he's kind of drawing on a whole lot of old Western movie cliches and the sort of the cliche of the comical sidekick that used to be a real Western movie formula. Although here the sidekick becomes really the main character of the film. And again, Pullman pulls on a lot of the old Western movie cliches, but he makes the character pretty vivid and gives the movie a fair amount of interest right there. We have fun watching this character. We have fun seeing this character face what sometimes appear to be pretty insurmountable odds and eventually more or less overcome them. The movie was also shot on location in and around Montana, and it has a lot of really beautiful cinematography in it. So one of the things that's always good to look at old-fashioned Westerns for is to see sometimes beautiful photography of the Western frontier. And here we definitely have a whole lot of on-location views of the West, filmed obviously in the present day, but they have a good old-fashioned frontier feel, and that is another thing that gives the movie a certain amount of interest. I repeat, not a great movie, but a very good movie. And it even starts by quoting the great historian of the Old West, Frederick Jackson Turner, talking about how the West, the frontier, changed the people who lived there. And that is something we definitely get a sense of from this movie. A second movie I'll touch on very briefly, the movie called Hostiles, as in hostile people. In this case, written and directed by Scott Cooper. And here we have Christian Bale, I think one of the finest actors that we have around today. And he plays a guy who's in the cavalry, and he really, really, really hates Native Americans. He hates Indians. He despises Indians, and he feels he has good reason to. He has seen all kinds of horrors in the Indian Wars, and he blames these horrors on the Indians. Well, he is ordered by his superior to escort, yes, a Native American, a very old Indian played by Wes Studi, who is dying, who has been in custody by the cavalry, the army, and he is now dying, and he is being given safe passage back to where he lives, again in Montana, by the president. So our Christian Bale character is ordered to escort him out there and get him out there safely. Now, I don't think the movie is ever quite convincing as to why the Christian Bale character ever accepts this assignment and why he is even given it, because even though he's a very capable officer, and we are led to believe that is why he is given the assignment, he despises the Indians and he despises this old Indian chief, and yet he is assigned to and accepts that assignment of bringing the old guy out there to his homeland. And along the way, all sorts of adventures are encountered. And yes, our main character, the Christian Bale character, does undergo some changes along the way. I found Hostiles not to be an especially memorable film, but it pretty well conveys the harshness of the Old West and very much delves into and criticizes the tremendous hostility of the whites for the Native Americans. And for that reason, alone among other things, it is worth watching and definitely worth thinking about, because it raises issues of racism and the need to overcome racism that are obviously still very much with us today. So turning to our third film, Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool. Now we turn the corner and we are in completely different Western movie territory. This is a movie that is directed by Paul McGuigan, and it is about the old Hollywood movie star, Gloria Graham. So we are no longer in the Old West now, unless you want to count, there are some scenes that take place in Hollywood. So unless you want to count that, we are no longer in the Old West. We are in the modern West, and also very much in England, because Liverpool plays a big part in this story as well. So we have here a movie which is based on a memoir by a guy named Peter Turner. So this might remind some people of the recent movie about Marilyn Monroe, My 2 Weeks with Marilyn, which also was based on a memoir. Jamie Bell plays Peter Turner, who wrote this memoir, because when Gloria Graham, the old Hollywood star, was getting kind of old, she met and had an affair with this very young guy named Peter Turner, very young, much younger than she was, at least. And the movie oscillates back and forth in time. We have partly the very old, well, not, she didn't live to be that old, but we have the middle-aged Gloria Graham, who we find out during the course of the movie is actually dying of cancer. And she does not reveal this to Peter Turner, and he only gradually discovers this. So this is one part of the story. The middle-aged Gloria Graham, who is reaching the end of her life, her career is already fallen on very hard times. She is no longer a big Hollywood star. But she is now dying, and she is having this affair, this very deep involvement with this very young English guy. And she is now spending a lot of her time in Liverpool, where this young English guy still lives with his family. Especially, by the way, his mother is a major character, played by the great, wonderful Julie Walters. So that is one part of the story. And then we have a whole lot of segues back into the time when they first get to know each other. And sometimes the movie oscillates between past and present, or between present and future, by just somebody will walk through a door, and suddenly we have a beautiful change of music and a beautiful change of cinematography, and we're a very different time era. So it's one of these movies that goes back and forth in time, but it is always very, very clear about that. There is never any confusion as to exactly where we are and exactly what we're doing, exactly what we're seeing. And so we have this sort of, oh, it's sort of a May-December romance between this much younger guy and this much older woman. And she is a big Hollywood star, but a very faded Hollywood star. And now her life is fading, even as her stardom did before. Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool is a very well-acted movie, especially by Annette Bening, who really gives a superb performance as this, well, she's partly the younger Gloria Graham and partly the older Gloria Graham. Again, a dying woman who is completely resisting thoughts of her own death, is in denial about that. And Bening gives just a bravura performance. It's never showy, it's never flashy, but it really gets us very deeply into the character. Jamie Bell is quite wonderful as Peter Turner, and does a little bit of dancing in the movie. And this is the first time Jamie Bell has danced in many a long year. Many people remember his dancing from when he was a very young up-and-coming movie star. So now he dances again in this movie. I already mentioned Julie Walters. Also, Vanessa Redgrave is in the film. And Vanessa can kind of overact sometimes, but here she plays a very secondary role, but she gives a very nuanced and balanced performance. So Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool. It's kind of interesting. We have a number of movies out right now that deal with real women, movies based on real women facing tremendous challenges. And last week we talked about some of these, including All the Money in the World and a couple of others. Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool falls in that category. Always wonderful to see a major film that centers on a woman character, treats her compassionately, treats her with a lot of sympathy and understanding, and that's very much what we have here. So I would say that of our three very different films this week, at least a couple of our films different from the others, Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool is the one to go out and catch if you can. And that is my somewhat old Western story this week.
Thank you very much, David Starrett. Films in Focus, the films The Ballad of Lefty Brown, Hostiles, and Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool.